All right. Daniel again, back to Daniel 9:23. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Therefore, now, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. So that's 69 weeks. Something is going to happen at the end of the 69th week. What happened, I believe, I think I can prove it, and we're talking about weeks of years, remember? What happened is Herod's temple was finished and the wall was finished. He'd been building it. We'd been working on it for 46 years. Okay, so at the minute there was some aspect of either the Holy of Holies or some aspect of the temple was finished at the end of the 69th week. So now there's 7 years left. And if you pay any attention to modern theology, this 7 years is supposed to be floating around in space somewhere. And because they see it that way, you'll see in a minute that they call Christ the Antichrist. Which is, hear this carefully, because I don't want you to call Christ the Antichrist. So, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. So Jesus hasn't started his public ministry yet. So then after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That's what he did. And that's why when John the Baptist symbolically buried, when he baptized Jesus, he said, if you remember, go to Matthew 3 real quick. Keep your hand in Daniel. In verse 13, Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. So something mysterious happened, and we know from the date that he was baptized until the date that he was crucified was exactly 3.5 years. So it was in the midst of this mysterious week that he was baptized and fulfilled all righteousness. And from God's perspective, the oblation ceased at that moment at his baptism. Does everybody understand that?
Ceased to have any meaning.
Ceased to have from God's perspective. Because the type was fulfilled in Christ's burial in the baptism. All right. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week shall he cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I don't want to go into all each of those meanings, but we read a lot to get to this. The verse. Remember, we started chapter 9 with him saying that he, what? Anybody remember? There was a key word.
Confessing of sins and supplication.
No, that he would accomplish the 70 years. Remember, accomplish. What is that? It happened in fact, but it has to happen, it has to be accomplished in you. Vish? So it has to be, you have to recognize the end in you so that you can look, and wherever you look, instead of seeing yourself, you see Jesus. Now that's the reason for a fast. The fast, what the fast does, it causes you to put your eyes on yourself because of what you've given up, and then it causes a total and complete reversal of that. So in effect, you end up giving up yourself. Okay, now watch. And in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And he was mourning for the death of his people. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So again, for some reason, Daniel fasted for 21 days. Now, I happen to believe that that period of time was the between the straits. That's another, where from Tammuz to Ab, the 21 days between the straits is when Daniel fasted here. All right, let's go to Joel. Take a right for a few pages.
It's almost like an odd celebration in a way. It's like a holy celebration because when man celebrates something, he gorges himself for 3 years. Daniel, because he understood vision and saw, he would like to appreciate it so deeply that he had to.
Here's the thing. For some, for many, you understand that there's a law about mourning, that there has to be mourning for a death. Some of you haven't mourned for your own death because you haven't seen your own death. And so unless the mourning, so in the fulfillment of the type, you cannot go any farther. It's like someone who's lost a child, or someone who's lost a mother or father, whatever, and it was buried, it wasn't expressed. It was in them, but it was, and so they, you know, slowly but surely it goes deeper and deeper into the consciousness until finally just something that sort of hangs around and affects everything they do. It's like a whole blob of mucus all over you. Where'd that come from? That's disgusting. But it's like internally. I know where it came from. Internally, what?
You don't think before you speak.
No. Internally, in our intestines, there is supposed to be a very thin covering of mucus, and so that it has something to do with the movement of food and all that kind of stuff. But it's thin enough though, so that the process of the food value getting into the blood through the osmosis process happens in the intestines. Now, what happens for many people, probably all of us, is that the mucus has gotten so thick in our intestinal tract that we get no value out of the food that we eat, both naturally and spiritually. And so the mucus, what happens in fasting is the mucus is eliminated. And that's why all of us have had some experience in fasting, I think, but you become much more... Your whole being becomes alive. You're much more acute and sharper in your thoughts and memory, and you feel a jillion times better. Even though you've stopped, it's the opposite of what you think you should do. See, that's So, but my point is this. We are being fed spiritually every day. But the mucus is too thick for us, for it to be consumed, so that the word doesn't become epignosis. It doesn't become you. It's something separate from you. And that's why, my function, my only purpose here is to present you perfect in Christ Jesus. But the problem is you don't know, you still think you're separate from him. You still think there's you're going through something, or something is happening to you, and so there's this process of being separated from his life, and you kind of looking at things as an observer, or him trying to help you or do something for you every once in a while, is so pervasive in this body that I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to get you to the next step. I think you all believe in him, but I don't. Very few of you live by the faith of him, because the spiritual, the word, is being it's you're hearing, but it's not hearing fully. So you're not becoming one with what you hear and what he is. Does that communicate? Well, that's where the mucus came from. I haven't thought about it before, but I don't know what the mucus would mean, except it's something there that is hindering the mystery from being mixed with you. So there's always something going on where, oh my God, I'm dealing with this, or I'm dealing with that, or I'm. You've got to get over that. It's not happening to you. And I believe a fast will cause us to come to a more perfect understanding of this mystery. I don't know when we're going to do the fast. I don't know how long it's going to be. And I don't know what we're going to fast from. But it can't be something each individual does, because it's a body function. If we are one, then, you know, my elbow can't decide it's going to eat a banana, and while my finger decides it's not going to have bananas. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. There has to be something done with us as a body. What's happened is everybody is, and I don't know why, but I can sense it, people are beginning to go their own way. They're concerned with their own lives. Instead of, it's back to Haggai. I mean, you know, we came into the land, and the only thing there was an altar, and we are supposed to build the temple, but we are the living stones of that temple. But we're off building our own houses. Something has to be done. In fact, it has to be done so important. This may sound contradictory, but it's so important that we have to do it, even if it destroys the body. Get any reaction? Huh?
And then this reminds me, for some reason, this reminds me of God loveth a cheerful giver. That there's freedom that we have that we don't know, because we're buried under all this stuff. And on the other side of tribulation is being a hilarious giver, throwing it up in the air.
Now, John is right. I believe that we need to do this as, in the same, as we're doing this in that period of time, that's when we will do the first fruit offerings, so that the fast and the first fruit offerings become corporate, instead of I'm going to have a first fruit. I mean, you remember in the first couple of years we did the first fruit offerings, it was a community affair. Everybody knew what was going on. It was either anticipated or dreaded, but everybody knew. There was an intimacy. So I will call for a solemn assembly. I am calling for a fast, and I am calling for the first fruit offerings. And I believe that God has given me the authority to do that by the word of God. I believe we'll see all kinds of breakthroughs in the spirit for each, and not just spiritual, but there will be other breakthroughs for each one of you. As long as you see it as us. All right, let's go to Joel. Verse 13, well, here, this is good. Joel is good. You haven't studied Joel enough. Shut up, brother. Hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Pethuel. I'm going to start calling. Joel 1. I'm going to start calling. So, did I say Joel 2? I'm going to start calling Josiah Pethuel. Pethuel. No, I'm not. It's almost as weird as Oli. Have you ever heard of a dumber name than Oli? I literally was going to sue my parents, my mother, for naming me Oli.
Why don't you go by your middle name?
I don't like that any better.
You can change your name to Oli.
The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, the canker worm hath eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep. And howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Remember, the old wine is the wine of Ephraim. It's the wine of self-seeking. Remember that? For a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean, bare, and cast it away, and the branches thereof are made white. And that's what's happened. It's not just us, it's the whole of the church has come upon his land as locusts. And then what the locust hasn't eaten, the rest of these guys have eaten, until finally the body, the true spiritual body, starving. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests and the Lord's ministers mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, and the oil languishes. Be ashamed, O you husbandmen, howl, O you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, for the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered upon away from the sons of men. Now gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering, for the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify you a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders together, all the inhabitants of the land, into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Now go quickly. Somebody go to 2 Chronicles 7.
Verse
14.
If my people which are called...
Listen carefully.
If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Okay. It's turned from your, the better translation of that is turned from your ways, which are automatically wicked. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and what?
Turn from their wicked ways.
Then
will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Okay. Call for a solemn assembly. Call for a fast. Again, we have this all. We'll do this before Passover, but the point of the time we'll start at least the first fruit offerings will occur during the middle of the fast or during the process of the fast, so that we have to have all these things, all of our experience. We have to have all these things in common. Too much emphasis and too much, I mean, I don't know how to preach the cross any more than I do. But I sense it with everything in me that there's too much self here. So let's fast from self. Amen? Pat Booth sent me this thing yesterday. It was this kind of anthem. But I'm a soldier of God. I can do all things through Christ. Huh?
Jingoism.
But it was like 50 of these little. So anyway, I wrote him back, and he said it was all about the army of God. I'm in the army of God. I'm done.
Let's
roll. Yeah. And so at the end, I wrote him back and said just one little simple sentence. I said, I'm not worthy to be in the army of God. I haven't heard from him since. So. But remember that my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Remember that humbling is the idea of it's surrender, total and complete, empty. Think in these things. We'll be talking about it much more. All right, take a big guy.